I invite you to please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel for this day comes from Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of the Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. You have come to show us the way, the truth, the life. Lord, help us to follow you through this life. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as you saw with the kids up here, this week was VBS. 140 kids packed in here, screaming at the top of their lungs, singing praise to Jesus with all sorts of joy and enthusiasm and excitement. It was a fun-filled week. This week, I wanted to share with you just a little bit more about what it was that those kids learned. You got to meet some of our Bible buddies. Today, I thought I'd kind of walk you through some of the Bible stories that we talked through. You also kind of heard a few of the kids saying it, but at the end of each Bible point, the kids would all respond by saying, "Follow him," and they'd hold up their fingers sort of like little gospel lights. So this is my Bible buddies, my VBS buddies, this is your chance to teach your parents. Adults, this is your chance to play "Are You Smarter Than a Third Grader?" When I say the Bible points, I want all of you to respond, "Follow him." All right. Well, on Monday, we learned that Jesus gives us hope. Follow him. Now, hope means that you're excitedly looking forward to something that is coming. But there's a difference between hope in the way the world views it and biblical hope. In the world, hope means, well, I hope this happens. I would like for it to happen. Like, I hope that the Royals win the World Series for a second time. But that might or might not happen, looking a lot less likely. But we hope in the worldly sense. But biblical hope is founded on Jesus. Biblical hope is not just a want or a wish or a dream. It's a confidence. It's based on God. And so we talked through a couple of different stories of the Israelites and how they were in a dark time and they were waiting, hoping for the promise. And so we heard the story of Isaiah, how he promised that a light would come, and how the Israelites believed that hope, and yet they still had to wait for years and years. And then we talked about how John came, prepared the way of the Lord. John proclaimed that message as well. The light was coming, and they were hoping. They were waiting. And finally, the light came in Jesus. You know, all of us go through dark times in our lives. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's even a sickness that results in death. Maybe it's a job loss, death of a loved one, a divorce. Lots of different things happen that bring us into dark times. Maybe you look at the world as the problem and you just feel overwhelmed. The hate-filled shootings, racism, poverty, the global refugee crisis. We see these dark times and we need hope. That's why it's good to know that Jesus gives us hope. He promises that he is in control. He promised that he sent his son to provide a way out of that darkness. Jesus, who came into the world to make things right, who is still making things right, who has promised that he will come again. because these promises are founded on God, we know that they are true. Jesus gives us hope. Follow him. So the next point, Tuesday, we learn that Jesus gives us courage. Follow him. Tuesday, we talked about the story of Peter walking on the water, how Jesus was walking across the water, and Peter saw him, was afraid, and called out, "Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you." And so Peter began to walk across the water as well. He had courage, but then he took his eyes off Jesus, and he looked at the waves, and he became afraid. He began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." At that moment, Jesus reached out and caught Peter and brought him back into the boat. Well, Jesus calls all of us to have courage. We have hope that Jesus will make all things right, and yet it takes a long time for us to see the reality of those promises as well. And so in that meantime, before those things come true, he calls us to have courage, to step out in faith, just like Peter did leaving that boat. You know, we're living in a culture that for the first time in many generations, probably the history of the United States, where the society is not in full support of the church and the biblical faith. We live in a time in which intolerance is the greatest evil that there is, and for us to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come into heaven apart from him is a horribly offensive thing to say in our culture. It takes courage. And Jesus gives us that courage. As we step out in faith following him, one step at a time, he gives us courage to keep on going, to not be afraid, to keep our eyes on him. And when we do look away, when we do become scared and afraid, Jesus is still there to catch us, to pick us up. Jesus gives us courage. Follow him. On Wednesday, we learn that Jesus gives us direction. Follow him. There are all sorts of ideas out in the world about what is right and wrong. Your kids will hear one from you. They may hear something different at school. They'll probably see something different on TV. They'll hear something different from their friends. Many different voices for our kids to hear and to listen to. How do they know what to follow? How do they know which way to go, what's right and wrong? Jesus provides us that way. Jesus provides us the real truth, the most fulfilling way to live life. That truth, that guidance, that direction is found in his word. It's the only sure, the only certain guiding post that we have in this life. And so we spent some time on Wednesday reading through some of Jesus' teachings. We worked through the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus taught us to let go of angry feelings, to love our enemies, to treat others the way we want to be treated. Jesus blessed the kind of people that society would have rejected, those who mourn, the poor, the persecuted. Now, some of Jesus' teachings, sometimes they make sense. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're hard to understand, hard to grapple with. But as we begin to follow him and listen to his teaching and his guidance, we come to realize that they really are the way to the most fulfilling life that we can have. Jesus gives us direction. Follow him. And on Thursday, we came to the most important lesson of all. Thursday, we learned that Jesus gives us hope. Follow him. We learned how Jesus lived his entire life, loving, caring for people with a love so strong, so powerful, so different that people didn't know what to make of it. So some people reacted in fear and doubt and in challenge. People rejected Jesus, turned away. One of his own followers betrayed him. The religious leaders, out of jealousy, handed him over to Pilate, who was too scared to do anything about it and allowed Jesus to be crucified. And Jesus, at any one of those points, could have easily stood up, defended himself, called down a host of angels to protect him. But instead, he continued to love the very people who were hurting and attacking and persecuting him, loving them to the point of giving up his life on the cross. And yet his love was so powerful that not even death was strong enough to hold him. And so on the third day, Jesus rose to new life again. He's never stopped loving us. That's good news when we recognize that we live in a world that is filled with hurt and pain and brokenness. We live in a world that is so broken that kids feel like love is conditioned on what they do. And they have to be really good if they want to be loved. And if they do something wrong, they might not be loved. They have to do something to earn love and to make it back up and to get into someone's good graces. You know, we really still struggle with that all of our life through. As we get older, we get better and more nuanced about how it is that we go about running around trying to get people to love us. But still, we carry with us sometimes this sense that we need to do something to be something to receive love. Jesus promises that there's nothing we could do that could ever stop God from loving us. There's nothing that we could ever do that would cause him to turn his back on us. He died for us. He rose for us because he loves us. And now, as our risen Lord and Savior, he stands with his arms open wide, inviting every one of us to come to him. Jesus gives us love. Follow him. And then on Friday, we learn that Jesus gives us his power. Follow him. You know, kids love power, don't they? Just think about their fascination with superheroes and Jedi Knights with their lightsabers and all the superpowers that those things have. But even when they're not playing and having imagination, they still love to have power to be able to do things. You know, one of Nori's favorite things is to wash clothes because she knows how to start the clothes washer. It makes her feel powerful. And Evan's job is to put the little piece of soap in the dishwasher and start the dishwasher. And if we do that and don't allow him to help, he gets upset. Those things bring them joy and excitement because they feel like they have power. They're able to help in meaningful ways. Well, sometimes we talk so much about God's love, about what he has done for us, that we begin to think that there's nothing for us to do. Now, there is nothing that we can do to earn God's love. That's already a given. But in God's love, he has many things that he wants for us to do. And so we talked on Friday about Jesus' ascension. Those last moments that he spent with his disciples, talking with them, telling him that he was getting ready to leave, but that his work was not done. And so he was sending them out as his apostles, his missionaries, his sent ones, to go and bring this message of love and forgiveness to those around him. And he promised that he would always be with them. He promised he would strengthen them with the Holy Spirit, but he wants them to be the ones to go forth and tell them. And he was going to give them the power to go and do that. Do you realize that God has a plan and a purpose for you as well? He loves you, each one of you. He created you special and unique to make a difference in this world. There are people and places and opportunities that you have to speak God's love into that no one else will have. And God's plan and God's purpose is that he would give you power and allow you to step into those opportunities and to share his great love with the world. What great thing that God loves us so much that he thinks we are worthy of being his helpers. Jesus gives us his power. Follow him. This world can be a dark and a scary place. Jesus truly is the light of the world, a light shining in the dark. He loves you. He cares for you. He will always provide for you. He has a purpose for you. Today, may you be reminded of his great love for you, and may you follow him always. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Please stand. We now confess our faith in this God who has loved us and saved us and cared.